All right, let's dive into the dominant topic, which is Minnesota Vikings football. Welcome into the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake, Christopher Tubbs until 9. Plenty, and I mean plenty, of Vikings talk here this evening. 7:05, we'll talk to Vikings great Chuck Foreman, get his take on the Vikings. And Chuck is somebody that he doesn't hold back. He keeps it real. He's super genuine and authentic with his takes. So I look forward to checking in with the stellar running back from the Vikings from years ago. But I want to start with my opinion and thought on last night's game and get your reaction on the talk and text line, which is 651-461-9226. Because the first thing that I thought of last night in assessing this game, during the game as it's happening live, and then kind of evaluating it after the game, okay, just kind of re-going through it, post-gaming it, and all of that. The very first thing that I thought of, and this is more specific to the first half, was the fact that Sam Darnold was bad last night. Let's just call it for what it is, okay? And there are going to be layers to this conversation tonight because people are talking about Sam Darnold, this is who he is, we need to move on already, it's J.J.'s team and all this other stuff, as in J.J. McCarthy. We'll get to all of that. But just the first half was Sam Darnold and him getting blitzed and feeling the pressure and being inaccurate, that was on Sam Darnold. That first half and at halftime when you're trailing, 10-6, I kept saying to myself, Sam Darnold's been spectacular this year. I think that Sam Darnold's going to figure it out. I think he's going to make better throws. The better throws didn't come. Okay, let's just be honest. The better throws didn't come. The biggest play that you had last night was the Cam Akers run that totally caught Detroit off guard. So the first half was a mixture of Sam Darnold was not good. Will Reichert in that kickoff, he blew that. That essentially gave Detroit the 3 points you just scored. And then the other part of this that I had to make more of an assessment about, and this is more of a later in the game and post-game situation, after I re-looked at some plays, is that, and this is a rarity, Kevin O'Connell got out-coached. He did. All right, I'm a Kevin O'Connell fan. I listened to his presser earlier today. One of the things that I absolutely love about Kevin O'Connell is he is accountable. He's accountable. I love how accountable he is. He doesn't shy away from criticism. He claims and owns all of the things that happen with the game. Any flaws, any mistakes, Kevin O'Connell owns up to it. But Kevin O'Connell got out-coached last night. And that's him having to share in the fact that his team, I'm not going to sit here and say they weren't ready for primetime because I felt like the energy, the vibe going into the game, I thought that that was fine. They just didn't have anything for Detroit after Detroit came out of the locker room there in the second half. So Sam Darnold, problematic. Sam Darnold moving forward, how does it play out? 651-461-9226. I feel like today a lot of you in conversations, other shows that we've listened to today, reaction on social media, people are acting as though the Vikings season is dead. That the team that you've loved this entire year, that they died last night. I don't think that's the case. The Minnesota Vikings have a shot to do something in the postseason. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act as though like the Rams shouldn't scare you because they got some offensive weapons. And we know that Matthew Stafford is outstanding. Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. He's got a ring. He's got the stats. He's a damn good quarterback. and you got to deal with him. And he's got the, what, the experience, right? We talk about playoff experience, something that Sam Darnold does not have. But let's not act as though, like, the Vikings can't win. They lost three games all year long, guys. Three games all year long. And two of those games went to the Detroit Lions. So I just think that we need to kind of calm down a little bit. There are other issues that we'll address here in this opening hour. But yeah, last night was not a good night. Look, the bottom line is that was the biggest regular season game for the Minnesota Vikings, and they ended up getting crushed.
Yeah, I think fans were a little worried because of how it played out, where Sam Darnold missed a lot of throws. The scheme, I felt, was good because you saw T.J. Hockenson open. You saw Justin Jefferson open. You saw everything was working. And the nerves, I'm not surprised by the nerves. I'm surprised that he wasn't able to rein it in after the first couple of drives.
Because of the experience that he has in the National Football League. You're 100% correct there, Chris. I wasn't at all. There's going to be nerves Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be nerves Monday night. But, like, he's been in the league 7 years. And I get it. Like, there's different levels to this. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that he wasn't able to come out in the second half and just kind of right the ship.
Yeah, he left a lot of throws on the field last night. No question. TJ missed him a lot. Jefferson missed him a lot. You know, I think, to me, I just have to shake my head and go, well, it sucked last night. I think you got defeated. You got your ass kicked by the Lions at their place. And now you go take on the Rams at their place, a place that you already lost. And if you win there, guess what? You got to go back to Detroit, a place you just got completely destroyed at. And I think fans are like, because of how it happened, I think if you put the blind resume on there and say, hey, Vikings fans, 14-3, 5 seed. We won't tell you what happens during the season. Will you take it? They would. But it's how it happened. I think that's why everybody's a little on edge right now.
651-461-9226. I believe this. I believe that right now, a lot of this is therapy for me to talk to you about what happened last
night. Oh, we're
very
fragile right now.
Because this is in the state of Minnesota, and if you're a Vikings fan, I feel like this is a mental health day. It really is. It should be viewed as a mental health day. There were so many things that you look at last night that I have issues with and also some critiques of that we have to address and we have to talk about. And it's not just about last night. I think it's also about things that are on the horizon for the future. There were a couple of things that popped up last night that to me, in looking at not just this year in the short term, but also in the long term, there's a couple other things that absolutely we're going to have to address. But 651-461-9226, we'll take your texts, we'll take your phone calls, we'll do that next. We're talking Vikings right here on The Lake Show.
Darnold, looking, trying to scramble and keep it alive, throwing, incomplete! The play.
We thought that last night's football game that there was an opportunity for it to be a shootout. It was not that. It was not that. It was one-sided. Lions win, take the 1 seed, 31-9. Getting your reaction, your phone calls here on The Lake Show, 651-461-9226. Before we get to phone calls here, let me say one thing about a texter. Texter's asking about, or they say the momentum shift after Goff was sacked for safety that wasn't called. Big moment of deflation for us. Goff, he wasn't sacked necessarily in that situation. The call would have been intentional grounding, which would have been a safety. So to the texter's point, it's still a valid point because it's a good point. But I don't feel like that was a momentum play right there.
I think at that point it was, because that would have gotten you to within. You know,
it was 7-0.
It was 7-0. So that would have gotten you on the board.
Yeah. I mean, so that's my point. Like When people talk about momentum, 7-2 in a football game, that's momentum?
Yeah, I think to me, the momentum was getting the field goal and Will Reichard kicking the ball out of bounds.
And giving it right back. That was the momentum.
Because it's funny, because I told my wife, I'm like, the one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to give them the ball back. Well, then it was like 20 seconds. She's like, yeah, but they're getting the ball back. I'm like, well, yeah, but they're going to kick it deep and Detroit's going to take a shot. And if they don't get it, they're just going to kneel on it. And then lo and behold, they kicked the ball out of bounds, and she's like, what changed? I'm like, well, pretty much everything.
They got the ball to 40.
Pretty much everything, yeah.
That was the momentum play was the Reichard situation.
Agreed.
That was not good. All right, to start with the phone calls, let's go to Robert in Northeast. What's up, Robert?
Yeah, you know what? I tell you what, the worst thing of the game is Sam Darnold. He couldn't throw a pass for beans, and it really hurt. And you know what? I was the one that came out of retirement saying that I hated the Vikings and would never be their friend. Well, guess what? I'm back to that now.
Wait! You hopped on the bandwagon for last night, and now you jump back off?
Yep, but I'm off it now.
So you're the jinx. You're the jinx, Robert. You're the jinx. You jumped on the bandwagon for 1 week. You jinxed our ass, and now you're off. And now we'll win against LA. All right, thanks for the phone call from Robert Northeast. He is the problem. He is the villain. He is our kryptonite. Either you're on or you're off, Robert.
Probably wearing his Barry Sanders jersey when he made that call. Let's be honest.
Nah. It's not even that good. He's got his Herman Moore jersey on.
Oh, Herman Moore. You know what? Let's go Scott Mitchell. Okay, how about them apples?
Oh, my gosh.
His favorite coach is Rod Marinelli.
Oh, let's go to Jeff in Sauk Rapids. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Henry. How you doing?
Man, we got to get the bandwagon folks off, man. We got people like Robert jinxing us, man.
I know. You know, what I was saying about before I called was, I don't know what everybody's getting their ass in a knot all over about here. The Vikings are in the postseason. That's it. They're going to the playoffs. Who's in the playoffs? Good teams. They're going to face good teams.
I will say
that's just the way life is.
You're right, Jeff. But I will say this: if we lose against the LA Rams on Monday night, I would feel disappointed.
Well, you know, of course, but one way or the other, the Vikings have to play the Rams. Either way, they would have had to face the Lions again. Baseball season is coming. Whether the Twins like it or not, New York Yankees are in their lineup. That's life. Just go play the game and do your best.
All right. Well, thanks for the phone call from Jeff and Sauk Rapids. Hey, Jeff is like, I want the smoke. We want the smoke from whoever. Because we're going to have to face, and the reality is in sports, and Jeff did say it, to win championships and to go places, you're going to have to face good teams.
Yes.
We know that, and that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And the Vikings are a good team. I think it's because it was a big – think about this. I'm not saying that this was a good preparation point, but I will say a lot of hype on this regular season game. The first time in NFL history, two teams with 14 wins are meeting to decide postseason. Like, there's so much. And this game got built into so much. And now I feel like the first-round game against the Rams is going to be, it's a wild-card game. You know?
I don't think people...
You don't think so?
It's the playoffs.
It's
the playoffs, and it's a Monday night game on the playoffs.
It is.
It's going to be big.
It's going to be big, but it's not going to be historic. We just saw.
Yeah, I mean, but every game can't be historic.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is that we heard so much hype about this game from everybody. I mean, national outlets were talking about. Now it's just going to be.
But even if you won, that was going to happen. Even if you won the game, because this was a big game, however you viewed it.
Absolutely.
You never had seen what two teams that had 14 wins face each other like that. So let's say that you win last night. The vibe around the wild card game was still going to be relatively the same on a national perspective.
I just feel like we're kind of making
It would have just been the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of overreaction to what happened last night. I look at it as it was one crummy game. Who is Sam Darnold? Is Sam Darnold the guy who had, what, out of 17 games, maybe, what do you have, like 14 really good ones and three stinkers? Or, you know, four stinkers? Or is he the guy that can't get you to the next? I don't know who Sam Darnold is. That was an opportunity for him last night, and he failed. He failed. There's no question about it. What I didn't like about Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about him being outcoached. I didn't like, you know, you're in the red zone, fourth down, going for it. I felt like you being aggressive on fourth down, I understand it, but that's not your thing. Like, that's not going for it at that point. I felt you would have been better off taking the points.
I didn't really.
Except for the long field goal that Reichert missed, I feel like I feel like KOC kind of got caught up in the moment.
I don't agree with that part. 651-461-9226. The reason why I don't agree with that is because Sam Darnold had Justin Jefferson wide open. So that's the reason why I don't agree with that. Now, I'm not saying that you got to go for it every single time. And in the red zone, yes, it's okay to take points. But there's no way I can sit here and say that KOC did a poor job. Justin Jefferson was wide open. Wide open! Just throw him a damn ball. That's on Sam Darnold. That's not on Kevin O'Connell.
I'm not talking about schemes of the throws. I'm just talking about the decision on fourth down. Take those points. Fourth down. You're not using Aaron Jones. Was Aaron Jones hurt? Was that why he was not in the game?
I felt like the running game in a second, but all of that matters, though. You're sitting there saying about decisions. If the decision was the right decision, the guy just didn't execute the damn play. That wasn't a bad decision. If the guy's wide open on back-to-back plays and he throws terrible balls, I mean, I can't fault Kevin O'Connell for that. I will say this. There was one of the red zone trips. I agree with you. I thought that they should have took the points because I didn't like the play selection. Like, you know, we had fun when I lived in Kansas City. We talk about the menu, right? The menu that Andy Reid had because he's a bigger guy, all that stuff. You know, he's covering his mouth. I get that. We have fun with that. But not running the ball in the red zone as more than what they should have.
That's a problem.
That was problematic.
No question.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. Let's go to Tom in Minneapolis. What's up, Tom?
Good evening, H. Lake. And I turned off the game about midway through the fourth quarter because I just couldn't handle it. I texted my daughter and I said, they're imploding. They're just absolutely imploding. And so today I'm listening to the After Action Monday morning quarterbacking and things like that.
Yep.
What I saw was happy feet, and Darnold plays. The pocket was collapsing around him, and there's a psychology thing called 10-minute toughness, 10-second toughness, and it's standing in there and firing away and getting the ball out of your hand. He was just hanging on to it too long, and not taking advantage of some open folks, anticipating where folks were going to be open. And then on some things, he had to throw it right on a dime. And it's good to get this bad game, get all these bad things out of the way. Certainly, Detroit showed some vulnerability. Glenn outcoached the offensive coordinator and, I guess, KOC, if he's calling the plays. And we know those vulnerabilities. Okay, you've got a week to boil them out of the system. And so that Darnold can be 10-second tough next week against the Rams. And just because you had a repeat of going to Detroit or playing Detroit and then going to the Rams and losing, and now you're going back to the Rams, doesn't mean you have to lose again.
Yeah.
I've got confidence in the Vikings. I'm going to pick them. I'm in it. I'm not just on the bandwagon for a minute or two. I'm all in until they aren't. So
thanks for the phone call from Tom in Minneapolis. Tom just made me feel good. First off, great phone call. I thought it was a great assessment.
He's got to give us a pregame pep like every day.
Absolutely. But I thought his assessment of everything last night was spot on, too. There were a lot of different things that he stated that I absolutely 100 100% agree with. All right, let's take a quick break. I want to get to some of these texts. We got time for some more phone calls as well, because we got a couple of more segments before we get to Chuck Foreman, former Minnesota Viking, joining us. But I definitely want to get to the text line because people are weighing in about last night, and we'll do that next year after weather on the Lake Show.
Hit zero as Darnold gives, and Akers takes off. Cam Akers may go. Joseph has the angle on him. Akers inside the 10 to the 5-yard line.
All right, welcome back to the Lake Show. Still talking about the Vikings, still taking your phone calls and text 651-461-9226. Text line. This is a good one from the 651. How about you don't try passing seven times on the goal line? Run the ball already. When you're on the 3-yard line, it's pretty easy for the defense to cover the receivers. Not very much field to cover. Maybe try running the ball. It got us 3 yards when we were on the 6-yard line for the first play. Then miss, pass, miss, pass, miss, pass? Question mark. All right, so this brings up a couple different issues. And I do want some responses to what I'm about to say. First off, I agree with the texter. I didn't think that the run-pass balance or just the play calling was great last night. It wasn't. Okay, it wasn't. But one thing I do have to factor in, and I'm not trying to piss people off, and I actually like this guy. Okay, he's been a good player for us this year. The first-year acquisition of Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I like Aaron Jones, but we got to do something different at running back. And what I mean by that is you either got to do two things. You either bring him back at a discounted price again, because you're not giving him a raise. He has to take another discounted price, and you got to go acquire another running back. You got to go acquire, and when I say acquire one, you might need to draft one. We have issues at running back. Aaron, and the reasons why I say that, or reason why I say that, isn't because Aaron Jones can't do everything that you want a running back to do. It's not because he's not explosive. It's not because of any of those things. It's because he gets nicked up all the time.
Yeah.
Then he's out of drive here. He's out of drive there. Like,
he missed a good chunk of last night.
It's starting to become a pattern, though.
Yes, it has.
And so, guys, we can't do this next year with Aaron Jones if it's going to be he's got to miss back-to-back drives. Or remember, everybody, people still ask the question, why was he in the locker room? I'm assuming he got an IV.
That was my assumption.
That was my assumption.
Just because he came running out, too.
With his arm.
Yeah.
And he had his arm taped up like that. So that was the – I don't think we ever got – I didn't hear that in the press conference earlier today. And I'm not sure if he was asked about it, but maybe he was, and I just missed it. But to me, you need your best guys available in big games.
Yes, and he wasn't.
And he's missing too many plays.
Yeah, and you get him when you've got Aaron Jones, whatever his snap share is, 60, 65%. If you're getting 4 or 5 explosive plays that are, 7 yards plus, that's great. But the problem is you're not getting those on a consistent basis. And, yeah, you absolutely need him in there because you know that they want to play Aaron Jones when they can. But if he's not, what do they say? The best ability is availability.
Yeah.
And he's just not available. And
he's not missing a bunch of time. I don't want people to take it as though he's missing a bunch of time. What I will say, though,
he's missing a couple of big series throughout the game where they could use him.
He's missing important moments in the game.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there are moments where you're in a big spot and you look and it's 27. You're like, okay, if Aaron Jones would be out there, but you know he's not healthy if he's not out there. I mean, he's not going to take
it. He's not 100%.
He's not 100%, but Cam Akers is not going to be the preferred option over Aaron Jones if you have Aaron Jones available, but you can't miss, as you said, those big moments, those must-have moments during the course of a game. I think if you've got Aaron Jones at that point, maybe you do run it a little bit more, but, I mean, maybe they went to the Pete Carroll part of the playbook. Yeah.
From the 612, Sam Darnold debacle last night. Why didn't you bring in another quarterback into the game, such as Daniel Jones, give him some work and see what he can see what he can do. Another bad game by Darnold deserves a look at someone else. One thing Detroit does better than the Vikings is make needed adjustments during the game. Now, I'll give you about the adjustments. I'm not giving you anything about Sam Darnold getting benched last night. Like, that's not an option.
No, he's your guy.
Yeah. I mean, that makes no sense at all. Daniel Jones
taking no snaps.
I mean, no. We're not doing that. By the way, if we are in the same situation next Monday night, and I don't think that we will be, but if we were, you're not pulling Sam Darnold out of that game either. Like, Sam Darnold got you here. You're riding with Sam Darnold.
You dance with the one that brought you. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And I mean, I understand it's kind of a, well, why aren't they going to make, you can't just up and change the quarterback like that for a guy, again, that hasn't taken any snaps at all. Like, it just, at that moment, it would be counterproductive to what you're trying to do.
A guy, you're not benching a guy that legitimately could get MVP votes for a guy that got released. And I'm not sitting here, look, do I think that Daniel Jones can be a starting quarterback in the NFL again? Absolutely, 100% I agree. But that's an overreaction right there.
Yeah.
With regards to Sam Darnold. This one is 6-1-2. I'm just worried about how I didn't see one good throw made by Sam last night. Yes, KLC did a good job with the fourth in goal calls for going for it. You need the touchdowns. I think he's more talking to you than me. Look, there's one of those I would have just go ahead and took the 3 points. But in that red zone, you got to come out with touchdowns. And so I wasn't offended when they were going for it on fourth down as much as maybe some other people.
Yeah,
because let's say you add 6 more points, 2 field goals to the total, you still got doubled up.
But you figure at that point that eventually your offense was going to settle down. To me, the Vikings
never
just
did.
Yeah, and the Vikings just needed to stay within striking distance. That was kind of my thing. You need to stay within a score, and then no more than 11 points. You know how you start to justify where the team is at? You're like, okay, if you get this, you get this, you get this. During the course of the year, we never saw KOC be that aggressive. And I just thought it was out of character for him to be that aggressive at that point. That I will stand by. I thought he was a little, I think he got a little too caught up in things. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I just feel like one or two things to add to get points on the board, every little thing mattered last night.
From the 507, Henry, some act like they want to tar and feather Sam Darnold, yet he unexpectedly led the Vikings to a 14-3 season. Like Mahomes and Brady, never had bad games, ? No, you're right. I mean, look, he had a bad game. He had a bad game in the biggest game of his career. And that's going to be noted. Like that's why he will be criticized, is because of it was the biggest moment of his career last night, and he wasn't up to it. And let me say this. This texter here, before we get ready to go to break, great news. It's good the Vikings lost. The road to the Super Bowl was always going to be another game versus Detroit. A great team never loses 3 games to the same team in a year. I'm serious. Vikings are going to the Super Bowl. You may be serious, but your seriousness I can't take serious. And I'm going to tell you why. It was not a good thing that the Vikings lost, Texter. What are you talking about? If you win last night, you get a week off. You get a bye. Secondly, you got home field advantage. What was good to take out of the loss last night, Texter? You got to be kidding me. It's good that they lost?
I think they just mean that you're going to have to play Detroit a third time, and it's unlikely that they will beat you 3 times in 1 year.
What does that have to do with the overarching point that they made? Basically, the point that they're trying to make is it's good that they got the loss out the system. That's a terrible take. You're playing for home field.
It's going to be a memorable run when they run the table in the NFC playoffs, so.
Man.
It's going to be a memorable.
All right, it's super cold here, but remember back when we were kids? And your school days, and you had those snow days, right? You missed school because of snow days. Heck, even when I worked in schools, we had a couple of snow days, right? Well, my old radio colleague in Kansas City, Dusty Likens from Fesco and Dusty in the Morning, I want to talk to him because in this particular business, you don't get many snow days. I've had a couple. One of them was in KC. Dusty had one earlier today. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to the rest of the Midwest, but people get a lot of shaky weather. We'll talk to Dusty Likens, and we'll do that next year on the Lake Show. Oh, I miss those snow days. Back when I was a kid, back when I worked in schools, I think that I've had maybe in my life in radio two snow days. Definitely one came when I was at 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, which is now 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. I definitely had one there. I think I might have had one here at WCCO, actually, when we had that polar vortex from a couple of years ago, a few years ago, and we are having another polar vortex right now. But in KC, my colleague, who's joining us now on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline, he is witnessing and having and experiencing a snow day, and that Kansas City got hit with this massive snowstorm. They don't get the snow like we get it. They got what I think was like 11 or 12 inches. They got a ton of sleet and ice over the weekend. Dusty Likens, he is the host from Fesco and Dusty in the Morning, joining us here on the Lake Show. Dusty, tell me about the last 48 hours in KC, man, because when I start seeing the video and the images coming out of KC from over the weekend, I was like, whoa, I know how scary that can be.
Yeah, at first I didn't know if this was, like, going to be one of those I'm getting punked things, because, like, I know in Minnesota, like, I feel like sometimes, like, we overreact here in KC. Like, when you came back, I remember one time I was like, you're only like 3 inches tomorrow. You're like, yeah, okay. So I'm like, well, this is kind of a big deal here, man. Like 3 inches, you're about to see some people get wild and crazy and get like, you know, into the grocery store. But no, this, I feel like, I don't know if you watch videos, like it's crazy, man. Like I was telling a lot of people for once, I take that back. For the first time in not the most of recent times, the weather people or the meteorologists really nailed this. So I give them credit for that because like every step of this storm and every process that we got here, by the way, I live in Lee's Summit, a suburb south of Kansas City. We got 12 inches and some places a little bit more to the east or the west got anywhere from like 12 to 14. So like, I don't know if like Minnesotans are like, okay, this guy's like definitely like a rookie to this, or if that's kind of quite a bit. So like a lot of snow just kept coming in. But the thing that was crazy is before it, there was like sleet and ice. And I don't care where you're from, wherever you're used to, like, nobody messes around with ice. You just stay away from it. And it came through the night before. And then for about, 13 straight hours, it was just a snow globe and like blowing snow. So living here in Lee's Summit, again, the suburbs south of Kansas City, about 30 minutes south of that, we got 12, like legit 12 inches. So it's been a wild ride, but thank God for Costco and beer and bourbon.
Well, this is the thing though, Dusty. And it's not about you and how you react to it. It's about how Minnesotans react. And let me explain. So like, let's say 12 inches here. It's just another day. Like that.
We're new kids on the block here.
But this is the thing, though. I have to lay it out, and this the reason why I want to have you on to discuss and talk about it is it's different in other parts of the country, and specifically in Kansas City, when you get those ice storms that come through, because you guys don't have all the equipment. The weather is drastically different on how you treat the roads and all that other stuff. When bad weather comes through KC, it shuts it down. When I saw semi-trucks slipping and sliding all over the roads and people being stranded here and there, that was even before the snow came. I said, it's going to be ugly. Because I think I texted you that night and I was like, dude, the snow is coming tomorrow. There's no way you guys are going to be able to do a radio show on Monday. So in the history of you being in radio, is this your first snow day?
Yeah. I haven't been doing the morning show long, but I mean, back in the day when I was, you know, we'd call it six man on the bench, like somebody would just be like, hey man, I don't feel comfortable going in. Like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, my car's fine. Like, I'll get in there and do it. Like, you know, it's like the older you get, you kind of described it in the opening of this segment where you're like, when I was a kid, I love the snow. You know, when you're in high school or you're in middle school, like you're all right, school's canceled. You're looking at the bottom bar. See if your, you know, district or your school's in there, you love it. Man, the older you get, snow sucks, dude. It's not fun. Like, I know you say like 10, 12 inches in Minnesota another day here. Like people, there's like no ice. Like you'd think that like there was like a, I don't know, like a, almost like an Evil Dead sort of situation here. The shelves got rocked. People, they hoard in, or then you have that one, you know, Billy Badass guy that, you know, drives his truck up and down your street. Like, no big deal. It's like, yeah, dude, you drive a double stroke dually, you know, diesel engine F450, man, you're going to get around just fine. But like the guy next door to you who drives a 99 Camry is like, he's not going anywhere for 4 days. So like to see that reaction, to go back to that whole thing. But yeah, like, I'd never in my wildest dreams, like, cause I'm not going to lie, I don't know how much information I'm giving up, you know, too much, but you know, we're a tight group of guys here in KC that all do the shows together. And we're like, so like, you know, hey man, like they're going to call this, right? Like, you know, you're sitting in a rain delay where you're like, yep, clearly looking at the radar, clearly looking at everything. You're like, hey, like they're going to bang this game, right? Like, we're not, you know, I can pour another glass of Pinot. It's like, I don't know, man, we haven't got the official word. And then, yeah, eventually, you know, our boss.
Hold on. Dusty's trying to pregame it. He's like, I don't know what's happening here.
That's a radio guy.
We got to come up with a script. We got to come up with a script. Like how are we going to play this thing out? You guys are trying to, you were doing your game prep. But which ironically, speaking of prepping, the Chiefs barely got out of Kansas City to get to Denver, right?
Yeah, it was weird because Harold Kuntz, who's a Fox 4 in KC, I'm sure you're aware of him. I know you are, but like a lot of people were wondering, like, all the meteorologists told us, like, here's what's coming, here's what's happening, it's actually happening, like, it's probably going to go in the domino effect. They say, why did the Chiefs wait so late? And then he reported, I believe, and I'm just kind of loosely quoting this, that like there were flights in Denver that couldn't get, you know, that were coming into Denver because everything was delayed throughout. Yeah. And so it wasn't like they like purposely left later than they should have. It was like they couldn't get on because the planes there were, and then they didn't take off today, I don't think, until like 10 o'clock. So they didn't get back here till normal time. It doesn't matter the week off. So it's, you know, irrelevant to timing, but it just shows you like, kind of like, you know, you interview a guy from Kansas City in a radio station in Minnesota, but yet it affects people in Denver and athletes that play for the Chiefs all in the same weekend. Like, this storm was, I mean, if it wasn't the story of the week in the Midwest, I don't really know what was, because it sure as hell wasn't Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're talking to Dusty Likens, host of Fesco and Dusty in the Morning, mornings on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Massive storm there that's taking place. And it sounds like, because I'm looking at KCTV5, their website right now, KC area schools have already been canceled for tomorrow. So,
called that at 3 p.m. local time.
That's great.
They were like, no, man, you're not going anywhere.
So, what's the actual temp right now?
Let me see. Right now, my watch says it's 13, but it feels like -1.
Mm, okay.
So, when I get up at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning and make the trail into work, it's going to be a high of 4. So, that's good.
Well, the good news for you, Dusty, is that the Kansas highways have been reopened, which means that if the Kansas highways have slowly reopened, then the Missouri highways have been slowly reopened, and you will be able to get your way into work.
That's right. Yeah, we know the Kansas side will be better than the Missouri side, because it's like night and day when you cross over. It's insane, man. It's wild.
That's crazy, man. Well, hey, man, well, good luck to you tomorrow. I know that you're knocking out the park in the morning. I'll have to tune in to you and Fesco for a little bit to see how everybody.
Hey, real quick.
There's got to be some snow talk.
Yeah, but hey, real quick, any nerves after last night's performance? Are you okay with it? You're just fine. Let's get to the playoffs.
Nah, I'm a little bit nervous about Sam Darnold because
He's been good all year.
He's been good all year, but he'd never been in a big game, and that was the biggest game of his life.
Fair.
And he came up small. So I'm not saying that I'm off the bandwagon. I do believe that the Vikings are a better team than the Rams, but you cannot have Sam Darnold have another game in which he's got a wide open Justin Jefferson and he can't hit him in the end zone.
Fair enough. Yeah. A little nerves, I thought. Yeah, a little bit of nerves.
Well, root for us this weekend, man, before you get back to Chiefs football next week.
Yes, sir. You do the same, and hopefully we have a Super Bowl again.
All right. I appreciate it, man. That's Dusty Likens joining us here. Fesco and Dusty in the Morning joining us from 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. You know this, Chris. You know this about the snow and the sleet and all that stuff. It's just different there, man. And look, I would have never known that until going and being in not only Kansas City, but when I was in college. In Atlanta,
it's different further down south.
And it was a snow and ice storm.
Mm-hmm.
I said to my best friend Julian, I was like, dude, this is nothing. Like, we're from Minnesota, we can navigate this. Now you get out there on those roads, man, and they're not able to treat the roads the way we do here. It's a wrap.
They're not prepared for it.
It's a wrap. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Chuck Foreman, the famous Minnesota Viking, great running back, about his thoughts on what took place last night. And what's coming up for the Vikings and the Rams?